Welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible people. I have with me Don Schaffner and Jeremy Burge. Hello, friends.
Hey there.
Hello, everybody. Friends of podcasts.
I'm so excited you are both here, and I would love if you could introduce yourself and let everyone know where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, sure. So I am in the world of podcasts. I am known for doing two of them. We have my long-running podcast called Food Safety Talk, and then another less long-running but still very popular podcast called Risky or Not, and I do both of those with my friend and colleague Ben Chapman from North Carolina State University. I myself am a professor at Rutgers University, and on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at Bug Counter.
Wonderful. All right, Jeremy, what about you?
That was so succinct. I like that. I like it when people have a good wrap up, you know. So for me, not to say I don't have this succinctly down, you know, I'm sure it's nailing it any second.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great.
So I'm the founder and chief emoji officer at Emojipedia. I just realized today it's my 8th year running Emojipedia, which is a long time. I like doing new things. So that's odd for me. But we have a podcast called Emoji Rap, where I talk to people in the emoji space. It's often the designers or the teams behind it. So if you're ever looking, if you're on an iPhone and you look at the designs, or if you're on an Android phone and you want to know more about it, there's a good chance I've spoken to people who have made those designs or made that happen, and hopefully asked them the questions that you wanted asked. So that's available there. On TikTok, people know me as a guy who lives on a boat, and I make content about that. And that has no particular business purpose. It just gives me joy. So you can, I'm sure Kathy will put the links in the, I'm sure you'll put the links in the show notes there. But
absolutely.
Yeah, come follow me on Twitter or on TikTok, or come listen to the Emoji Rap podcast.
If you hadn't have mentioned the TikTok, you know that I would have. I feel like that's a contractually obligated thing anytime we are in the same space together, is to discuss the TikTok. So I'm very glad that you brought it up. So thank you.
We have that. And of course, Clockwise, a mostly tech-related podcast, we are quite commonly on the same episodes.
Yes.
And so come and, you know, if you want four tech topics every week, about twice a year, perhaps me and you might be there, Kathy, and people could listen to us and all the other great guests that are there when we're not there.
I love it. Promoting a show that you're just occasionally on. It's fantastic. I love it.
Hey, Kathy, I know the purpose of this podcast is for you to ask us questions.
Yeah.
But what should I do if I have questions for Jeremy?
Oh, well, I think this is my show, so I can make it happen however you want. So you know what? I'm going to be very gracious host, and you can ask any questions that you would like whenever you would want to. So before I get started, feel free to ask your questions, unless it's going to be relevant to a future question that I will be asking, and then that's my job.
Okay, well, as I don't have a time machine, let me say, so first of all, I didn't prepare for this. So I saw that I was going to be on a podcast with somebody named Jeremy, who I don't know. I did no preparation, but
love
of course,
it.
Just now I opened up Emojipedia, and immediately I have a question about the vaccine emoji, which appears to be, at least as it's showing on my Macintosh screen, is a needle dripping blood, or something with a red liquid that might be blood with it dripping out the end. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about that.
Yes, that's a very good observation. And, well, I can give you a few facts straight off the bat here. That the first one is that is about to change. On iPhone, on Android, on Twitter, just about every emoji set is taking the blood out of there, probably for the very reason that you, being a scientifically minded person, looks at that and thinks, why is there blood in there? What? That doesn't help anybody. And the reality, though, if you want to know the actual reason that it was there, is because in Japan that did used to represent blood donation. And when there were tiny little 12 pixel icons, even though I guess you don't take blood out with a syringe at 12 pixels by 12 pixels, you can't really tell what's going on. And whereas today we use it, you know, or more recently for happy vaccine news. So the vendors all thought, hey, why don't we just take the blood out? If you want to use it for blood donation, I guess you could, but now it's just an empty syringe. Check your phone in a few weeks and it will make you much happier.
Love it.
Cool. Thank you so much. You heard it here first, folks.
I know. I may have to bump this episode in the publishing order so that it is actually because I'm.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
Space time podcast.
I know.
Theme.
It's all messed
check
up.
Check your phone now or later.
At some point in the future or the past, it will happen.
Correct. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. All right. So any other questions before we get started with my show? Putting that out there. No?
Wow.
We're good?
I think I'm good for okay. now.
Perfect. All right. So I would love to go back in that time machine. Let's go back in history a little bit. And I want to know, how did you start listening to podcasts and what were some of the first ones that you found?
Yeah. So for like so many things on the internet, and he'll never hear this podcast, so I'm sure it's fine. But like so many things on the internet, it can all be traced back to me, to Merlin Mann. And I first learned about him on the internet before I even had a Mac, and maybe his Mac evangelicism, if that's a thing, eventually inspired me to convert to using a Mac. But I started, you know, back in the 43, I almost said 73 folders, in the 43 folders days, which is what the actual website is called. I found him on the internet one day, found out he was doing this thing called a podcast called Mac Break Weekly, and started listening there. And then from there, I think the connection with Merlin led me to Dan Benjamin and inviting myself to be a guest on some podcasts with him. And then it just sort of snowballed into the present day scenario for me.
I love that. So basically what I'm learning is we can just blame Merlin for your existence.
Well, not for my existence. I think my mother and father.
When a man and woman love each other very much.
Really added some extra questions here.
All right, Jeremy, what got you started?
You know what? I'd heard of podcasts that had been floating around as sort of this nerdy thing I didn't really know how to use. I think around 2003, but I'm pretty sure it was whenever they got put into iTunes or whatever it was. There was a big sort of event and Apple said, here's this podcast thing. And I'd heard about them. I'd never really dipped in. And I think I just browsed the top charts. And I was just trying to think the other day, the first podcast I listened to a lot, maybe this happens to you too as well, is where you associate a podcast with like a time and a place.
Yeah.
Where you sort of remember when you listen to that series or episode or something. And for me, it was my first year of university. And I don't know how it works in the US, but in Australia, when you finish high school, you just fill out a priority order of which universities you want to go to. Sorry, this is a bit of a tangent from the podcast. I will get back to it.
No, totally. I love tangents. The show, like, it has a structure, kind of, but it's really just an excuse to get cool people to come and talk to me. So I would love to hear all about, because that is, I can tell you right now, that is not how the U.S. does universities or colleges at all. So tell me more.
I've seen people writing letters in movies and things and talking up how good they are. And is that the gist of it? Do you write to universities in the U.S. and say, hey, I'm like, great, could I come to your university? I feel like that's the thing that I've seen a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty accurate. I mean, Don would know more than me.
Yeah, it's a whole complicated, involved process. It involves paying money. You have to pay money to apply. You have to submit an essay. You have to have typically three professors write letters of recommendation for you. You have to provide your standardized test scores. You have to provide your transcripts. So if you're going to as an undergrad, you have to provide your high school transcripts. If you're going to graduate school, you have to provide your undergrad transcripts. It's a whole big complicated thing. But it's what we do. So I guess it must be the right way. Right.
USA.
Well, I've never been particularly. I mean, I've always liked school and university, but the study side of it was less exciting to me than the rest of it. But nonetheless, so where I lived in Australia, what you'd do is you'd finish your high school, and you would just fill out a priority order. You'd say, here's the university and course I want to do 1 through 10. It goes into some government machine, and based on your scores, they spit out which result you get, right? And it's preferential, and you know, if you don't get your first result, you get your second, and they just work it out by computer, basically, based on your test scores. There's no other essay to fill out. And I didn't really pay attention to where those universities were in my state. and I didn't really, you know, it's not super common to live on site at university in Australia. Some people do, but it's quite common to just move into an apartment nearby, or just to keep living where you grew up until you can afford to move out. I just filled them all out. I didn't pay any attention to where they were, and I got one that was an hour and a half drive from where I worked.
Oh, no.
And so I'd go there and back every day. So I listened to podcasts to keep me awake on this 3-hour return trip. That was my own fault for applying for a university nowhere near where I lived. So that's how I got into podcasts. And obviously it's odd because I like live radio and that sort of thing, but they just fascinated me. And I remember looking at the top charts, and I just picked a few random podcasts in there. And there was one, I'm sure no one's heard of it, but maybe tweet me if anyone ever listened to this show called Cush Things I Say. Have either of you two ever heard of this before?
No.
2003 it came out.
Nope.
And
nope.
There was sort of a style of podcast at the time of generally one white dude talking to himself was a quite popular show format at the time. And it just sort of go on for 45 minutes or an hour and talking, I guess, just about themselves. And for whatever reason, I found it interesting. Looking back, it's a bit potentially cringeworthy because I'm just questioning whether this was a good person or not even, but maybe an impressionable 18, 19-year-old, someone that seems very self-confident talking about their life and, you know, sort of romanticizing it in some way. So I listened to that quite a lot at the time, and I think it just fell off the internet. So that was one of my earlier shows. And then from there, I just sort of, slowly picked up the other podcasts as I went.
I love that. And there's something to be said about the wide variety of podcasts and how kind of over time what's popular has shifted and changed. But it makes sense that at the beginning it was so much easier to just record your own audio and have a conversation with yourself and not have to worry about being in the same place or syncing up audio over the internet that may or may not be great. So it makes sense that that would kind of be the more popular version of it, because it's so much easier to just record yourself. And
I swear there were so many shows like that too. I swear a bunch that I downloaded were exactly that, someone talking into a mic. And, you know, some people are good at it, some aren't. It possibly also allows you to talk yourself up a little. If no one's there to keep you in check, you could probably say what you want about yourself, and that becomes your truth at the time. But that seemed to be a popular format at the time. Thankfully, I don't think we see as much of that now. It seems to be a lot more guests and collaborative stuff like this.
Yeah, conversations and be able to, you can still talk yourself up and still be able to have kind of those introspective moments. But as an audience, it definitely seems to be more interesting to listen to two people having a conversation instead of trying to directly speak to the audience and hope that somebody's listening and then never really know what's going on.
Yeah, I think would be way harder to be good at it and do it just by yourself. I mean, I don't think it even occurred to me, oh, I need to do a podcast and do it by myself. It was more like, oh, I need to do a podcast and I need a good co-host who can also talk, right? A conversation, because it's just like you said, Kathy, it's like a natural conversation instead of something like it would feel almost forced. Like I would have to like prepare you've already detected like preparing is not a big thing with me for podcasts. I mean, I prepare, but I don't like exhaustively prepare. But if I had to do it myself, it would be a lot of work. Yeah, I don't think so. And I do enough of that anyway. As a professor, I'm used to giving lectures. That's fine. I've got no problem with doing that. But that's, to me, that's just not what a podcast is, right? Which is, again, just an accident maybe of how I entered into the world of podcasting.
I can totally see that. And while we're on that conversation, tell me more about entering the world of podcasting.
So, you know, it's funny that I've told this origin story a couple of times, actually many times now, but I think it's a really cool story. So we were about to have the 100th anniversary meeting of a professional society that I'm involved with. And in honor of that 100th anniversary, we hired the folks from StoryCorps to come in and record people having conversations. Now, it never made it into an actual StoryCorps episode on NPR, but we did get those recordings. And for the recording, I think I had some agency here, and I said, I want to talk to Ben Chapman. And so we, with professional audio engineers in the room, had a conversation about food safety. And I'm still trying to remember if it was like, I want to do a podcast, so this is a way to do it, or I like podcasts and I enjoy talking with Ben. But somehow all of that led to what we now call our episode zero of Food Safety Talk, which was basically the two of us sitting in a hotel being recorded by the StoryCorps engineers, just talking to each other. And then after that, it was like, okay, let's do a podcast. You want to do a podcast? Let's do a podcast. Let's figure it out. And lo and behold, we did. And then eventually, again, blame Merlin Mann, the idea for the other podcast, Risky or Not, came along, which is a suggestion from him in response to my response to somebody's tweet. And it's like, okay, this is a – boy, he's got good ideas, this man
this
fellow.
Merlin person.
yeah, don't tell him that. It's just been so much fun. And I just wonder how much of it was accident and or would have happened anyway, because it wasn't. I had been sort of listening to podcasts for a while before I said, you know, hey, this is something I actually have something I can contribute, you know, because of my specialized knowledge. People seem to want to hear about that, and this is a thing I could do. It's got a low barrier to entry. I got a fancy microphone, which is not really all that fancy. And I've got the software and I've got the hardware, and yeah, I have a relatively quiet room, although it's not perfect. But yeah, I could do this, you know, and lo and behold, we did. And it's just become a thing that both of us really, really love doing now. And so I would, as I've said repeatedly on the show, I would do it even if nobody listened, right? Because I just like having an excuse to talk to Ben about whatever is going on for us right now.
I love that. So how did you deal with the high drop-off rate in audio quality from episode zero to episode one of Food Safety Talk? Because I can imagine having the engineers running it is a little bit different.
So here's the thing. People, and these are not tech nerd people, right? These are food safety nerd people. They were astounded when they discovered that we were not actually in the same room with each other, right? They're like, what? How could you? But that's impossible. It's like, no. And we don't even do a good job of it, right? Like, we don't record double enders, right? Like, we just, one of us takes the audio from call recorder. We level it so that the audio levels are the same. And that's what you get. And our listeners, who are not apparently aficionados of audio quality, think it's just fine. And honestly, that's good, because if it was really hard, and we have had some clunkers, like we had one episode that we recorded live and the people that recorded it botched it. They were supposed to record our mics. Instead, they recorded room audio.
It
was horrible. And thankfully, a friendly nerd from the internet made it better for us. But I would say except for that, of course, that first StoryCorps episode, all of the other ones that have been done live on site have been done by people that are incompetent. And so the audio quality is not, you get the fun of being live, but the audio quality is crap. But the ones that Ben and I do, for the most part, they're pretty good. Occasionally there's a child at his house or a dog at his house or dogs at my house, making noise. But you know, people like, oh, that's just part of the show. In fact, I was listening to a John Roderick's new podcast with Mike Squires, and every time Mike's dogs came in the room and shook their collars, I smiled a little bit, because it was like, oh, someone else with dog collars on their show. I like that.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that natural feel, that hominess of light background audio that doesn't make it flawless, that adds that personal touch to it sometimes. I love that. All right, Jeremy, what made you want to pick up your microphone?
Speaking of the natural touch, I don't know whether you can hear someone standing outside my window yelling on the phone right now. I don't think so. I've been watching my levels and I'm not entirely sure they're coming through. But
I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
But if they are, then shout out to them.
Right.
It's nice.
I hope your phone call is successful.
Well, I mean, sort of like you, Don, I enjoyed being in situations where other people were doing the recording to begin with. That always, boy, is it such a relief, at least when you've never done any of this yourself, being in a room where someone sets up everything for you and just says, go, you know, you just talk. And it's a great intro for anyone who is interested in podcasting in general. Of course, the whole appeal is you can do it yourself, but a lot of my earlier stuff was either doing radio interviews about emoji-related things where you'd be in a studio. And even though it's a very different format, right, radio tends to be, it's tough when you've got a subject to discuss, and obviously they're trying to get it into often a 3-minute segment and there's very little room for detail, but it is lovely that there's audio engineers that have done everything for you, so I can see where you're coming from there, Don. It's like, it's great when someone's done the levels and they give you the thumbs up and they're like, yeah, we're good to go. You don't have to just talk as a normal human being and answer questions. So that was a little bit of my background in audio. I was doing radio for my job. I was also a guest on a friend of mine, a show I used to love called Let's Drink About It, where they'd make cocktails and similar sort of thing. I always assumed that him and his co-host were in the same room because it was excellent audio quality until I was a guest in person in his bedroom in New York and realized that it was just two of us. And I said, where's Chris, the other host? And it's like, oh, he lives in Canada. I just sounded very natural, as a lot of podcasts do, and I had absolutely no idea. It blew me away. So for me doing my own podcast, Emoji Rap, it wasn't my idea. It was actually the idea of my first guest on the show, who had suggested to me, oh, have you ever thought about doing a podcast? We could, you know, I'd come on and we could talk about emoji-related things. And that was the president and co-founder of Unicode, Mark Davis, which I don't think I've ever noted publicly that was his idea, not my idea. And Unicode is the body that approves all the emojis and every text character in the world. And I think being a standards body, there's a lot of, I don't know, people misinterpret what you're trying to do, and there's a lot of headlines that come out about, you know, what has and hasn't been done. And to be honest, a lot of the specifics are really boring as well. But just, I think he was just sort of interested in being in a more public forum as well, to go, no, I'm a normal human being. You know, there's reasons behind some of our decisions, but they don't come up well in text form, but maybe just having a chat about it makes it easier for people to understand. So he said that to me, like, oh, you know, do you have a podcast or something? I'd come on. And I guess I was like, well, sure, now I do. Yeah,
I do, exactly.
Yeah, like, come on next week. I will have a podcast by then. since then, I've been told by people who know far more about podcasting, I should have, you know, probably done some prep and maybe some other episodes with lesser guests first or something, but, you know, so be it. The first podcast episode I've ever hosted was arguably with quite a notable person in the world of emoji characters and technology, and it was his suggestion.
I love that. And I'm so happy that both of you are here, because I feel like both of you individually have taken these individual worlds that you exist in, that you make your money in, that you are professionals in, that could be seen as extremely boring and dull and nobody wants Thanks, information. Kathy. You know, I'm here to support and love on you both, but really, let's be honest. When you tell people, oh yeah, I run an emoji website, I talk about food safety, I do scientific studies for it, I'm sure people are like, cool, okay, that's great. I didn't know that was a job. And being who you are as people makes it so much more interesting. It shows the power of podcasts and the power of the people behind them. and how special it is and how important it is to have this humanity behind it, because it does make it so interesting and intriguing, and you get to learn more about who you are, what you like to listen to, and who you are as a person based on the two of you and other amazing podcasters as well.
And a tricky thing to do, which I've never quite been able to nail, but one difficult part of what I'm doing and a lot of people in this space is I'm talking to people that work at big companies like Apple and Google and the like, and they have their PR hat as well, that these people, you know, they'll tell you all kinds of things, obviously, when you're not being recorded. And often you have a great chat and you're like, nothing that you said was secretive or not public knowledge. That would be great to get that recorded. But sometimes the real challenge is to get people to do that. It's so much easier talking to people who have more autonomy, perhaps, you know, without the fear of, even if they're not saying anything inappropriate, there's sort of a self-censorship sometimes if you work for big companies. And obviously, I like that I work for my own company, so I'm never worried in the back of my head. If I say something stupid, then that's my own fault. There's no one that's going to tell me off over it.
Right. You're not going to have a bird fly down and be like, excuse me, you're not allowed to say that. Right. You're fired.
Yeah. And so many, you know, these people at the companies, they're never saying anything inappropriate anyway, even when you're not recording. But there is a temptation sometimes to self-censor just in case, or just to polish it up a little, which sometimes takes out the more interesting bits, which is why I quite like sometimes that when you get a lot of maybe people who are self-employed or people who run their own world a little bit more involved in podcasting, that can be really interesting because they really can just say what they want within reason. And that gives you more, you feel a bit more involved, a bit more like you're behind the scenes, which I love.
Yeah. And I mean, starting a podcast as two academics, we had a lot of freedom to kind of do it really as part of our job. Like Ben and I, our job is communicating with the public, and we just chose to do it through a podcast. Now, we have had folks from the government on, we have had folks from industry on. There are now other food safety podcasts. Some of the ones from the government are just totally cringeworthy because they're scripted and they're just, I mean, it's fine. It's what it is that they're doing, but they're for the most part, they're horrible. And so having that freedom as academics to pretty much shoot our mouths off. But I mean, to come back to your earlier point, Kathy, about like it being so niche, one of the long running jokes, and it's not really a joke, it's true. When we started the podcast, Ben's wife said to him, "Who's going to listen to that? Shut-ins?" It's like, no. And then the flip side of that is now we have, Ben and I both at professional meetings back when, before we had a pandemic and we actually went places, we would have graduate students come up to us like just shaking with nervousness because they were about to meet, like, and it's just like, no, like you don't get it. Like I'm just a guy who records himself every couple of weeks and you think it's something special, but really it's not. And I totally understand how you feel because when I meet my podcast idols, I'm also nervous, but it's okay. Don't be nervous. It's really okay. I'm just a normal human, just like you.
Oh, that's so cute.
My fiance Rachel is the loveliest person, but she also can't roll her eyes hard enough if she happens to be, if she happens to meet a so-called fan of mine.
Oh yeah,
in general, you know, that sort of, if we're at some kind of talk or just, she's a nurse, and one time she's had a someone who listens to the show come in with a baby before now. And, you know, she didn't know that. They didn't know anything, but they were wearing a shirt about podcasting and she was asking them, you know, oh yeah, what podcast do you listen to? And they happened to mention Emoji Rap that I'm on. And, you know, she was utterly embarrassed going, oh no.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. So, and obviously, yeah. She's lovely, but yes, the very similar view of like, who is listening to this? Why? Well, you know, I guess when you're around me all the time, you get sick of me.
I mean, yeah, you got to keep the ego down. Like, that's how you can really grow and be the best person, to have people in your life that will roll their eyes at you.
Well, that's the job of our spouses, to keep our egos in check.
Love it. All right. So if you were to pick up your phone and open the podcast app of choice, which I'm guessing is probably Overcast for both of you, what episode of what show would start playing?
Well, for me, it's the one I was just talking about. which is Mike Squires on Roderick's Rendezvous Redux, okay, which is a podcast started by so for those that may not know, John is known as Bean Dad on the internet. He's been canceled because of apparently making his daughter suffer opening a can of beans. He's a musician. He's long running co-host of Roderick on the Line with the aforementioned Merlin Mann. He started a Patreon and he's interviewing people, and he's doing this show called Roderick's Rendezvous Redux, and he's interviewing Mike Squires, who is who's also a Seattle musician who's been in a number of bands with John. And so that's what I've got queued up. And then before that, I want to give a shout out to Chapo Trap House and listening to Inebriated Past, which is the guy from Chapo, Matt Chrisman, talking about a guy from Civil War times. And then before that, just to round it out, it was a Due by Friday, the latest episode called Poke Papa.
Yes. one of the best episode titles ever. All right, Jeremy, what would be playing on your device?
Well, in the interests of honesty, I have picked up my phone to check, and it is episode 36 of Friends in Your Ears to do nice. Some preparation to coming on the show, just to, you know, just to get the vibe, to see how the format works, you know, that sort of thing. So that was Chris Finn and Sky Pillsbury, I got 3/4 of the way through before it hit our recording time just now. Before that, though, before what would have been playing before I switched over, I know Don, you said about not preparing. I also love not preparing for things. Things that you feel like you can do, you know, like it's
you can get away
fine.
With
we're
it.
Chatting about podcasting, right? We're talking about things we like doing, and I think maybe I'm always concerned about over preparing as well. I don't think it hurts to have a few notes, and my prep is listening to the show to get a feel for it, but. You know, I don't want to be over-prepared and just give scripted remarks on podcasts. I feel like that misses the point. What I would have been listening to before is a show called Irrational Fear, and it's a comedy politics. It's an Australian podcast. There's obviously a challenge of things like climate change. It's quite hard to make interesting. You know, it sucks what's happening in the world to some degree. And so Irrational Fear tries to sort of it mixes a bit of sort of climate change news and politics with generally with comedians, but who are sort of relatively well versed in what's going on. And yeah, it's quite a good listen, but it is quite Australian focused. So any Australian listeners will probably find it great. The rest of the world, I don't know. It's it's odd listening to the shows that are niche for a country that you are not part of.
I love, though, that that's an option, that you can have a very niche podcast, that you can have it location-based, that you can have it, okay, this, I really like this because of X. You may not, but maybe if you do, here you go. Like, that sort of conversation and the fact that, you know what, I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to see, because I do like to have different viewpoints and learn things about really cool places and different mindsets that maybe are different than the United States, which especially for climate change, although now that we have people in charge that believe in climate change, that's a start. So that's a good journey, I think, that we're on.
Well, and I just like a shout out to listening to things from other countries. Based on our television habits, you would definitely conclude that my wife and I lived in the UK, because we just watch like British, mostly British, but sometimes other European countries, murder mystery shows, right? And actually some from Australia as well. So I mean, it's just like that's we watch very little American TV. In terms of podcasts, I would say it's mostly US centric for me, US and, you know, politic culture centric, but not necessarily when it comes to television.
Love that. So many options out there, and the internet allows them all to exist in our range for the most part. Sometimes you need a VPN. This episode, no, just kidding. It's not sponsored. But let's go on to the final podcast-related question. And I would love to know what your favorite podcasts are and why you love them so much. And yes, you may have more than one.
Well, I kind of cheated on the last question because I did give three. So I would say for all of its horribleness and whatnot, I really do. I'm very happy to have stumbled across Chapo Trap House. Of course, Do By Friday is wonderful. I have a lot of unlistened episodes of that, unfortunately. Other shows sitting here in my main playlist, Reconcilable Differences. During the pandemic, I discovered This Week in Virology, which I have sort of fallen off listening to. And then, other ones, again, a lot of politics ones. I do like The New Abnormal. I had been a listener of Trumpcast before it went away when the titular topic went away for the most part. So those are the ones that are currently sitting in my inbox. And I have so many podcasts here that I just don't have time to listen to. And then there are ones that I'll dip in, for like an occasional episode. I don't know. It's my podcast listening lately has been screwed up, and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if I'm not finding as much time. Nothing has changed, right? It's still the same pandemic. I still have the same number of dog walks and whatnot. not commuting, but I was working from home a lot before the pandemic anyway. But those are some of the ones that are immediately sitting in my inbox. But I don't know. I feel like my podcast listening right now it's probably due for a new show, or it's due for a change, or it's a shakeup or something. I'm just not quite sure what that is yet. So that's kind of my current state of podcast listening.
I feel that sometimes. I get that kind of, you feel like you're very happy with the shows you're listening to. Everything's good, but you kind of think, well, what's, you know, that spark when you first find a new show that you really like or something, you're trying to recreate that. You're chasing the thrill of finding the new show, but it takes so long to get invested or to find that you also don't want to spend the time, listening to shows you don't like to find that. So, yeah, I hear you there, Don. I feel like I've also had that vibe a little bit recently. Maybe it is the pandemic or something going on.
The weight of the time that has been spent. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I always find favorite so hard. I know. But let me give you a few shows that are good that I liked. Kathy, do you have a list of shows that are like, if what people often say here is there a top answer? Is there any show that comes up all the time that you've either tallied or that just feels like it always comes up as a top one or two? I'm just curious.
I have never tallied it, but I would be really interested if anyone did. I feel like my brother and me and The Adventure Zone tend to be in the top. I'm trying to think of others. Lately, I've had a lot of shows that I have never even heard of, which is really impressive. This is episode 78, or this is the 78th episode that I've done of this show, and I've pretty much heard at least one of like the existence of episodes or like shows that people talk about. But lately I've had a run of shows that I did not even know existed. So it would be interesting to see. Yeah, it's really interesting to see over time how many shows have started too, especially with the pandemic and especially with creative outlets and the access to technology and like software to make them exist. But it would be really interesting to see like a count of how many times, like what the top mentioned show was. So audience, anyone out there want to do that for me? Bring it on.
Yeah, I was just curious, do people come on and just every show everyone just says the same thing and you're like, yeah, I know. I know. That's everyone's favorite podcast that comes on here. A lot of people have recommended the whole my brother and me adventure zone bit, and I'm not here I'm here to talk about podcasts I like. I didn't understand those. I tuned in because everyone I know likes them, and I'm sure it's more a me thing than I'm sure the show, they're very successful and everyone loves them. You know how sometimes, though, there's something that's popular and then you tune in and your brain doesn't click? Yeah. You don't So that was me on those, and that's absolutely not a knock on the show. They don't need my endorsement or not.
Right.
But nonetheless, that is always interesting to me when you get people go, yeah, I just love this show. It's so good. You got to listen. And you listen to a few just to be sure.
Right.
And then it just,
it's not for me. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. You're doing a good job. It seems good, but yeah, not for me.
And I was looking in my now playing, but of course the now playing or the main list doesn't tell you, it only tells you stuff that you listened to that you haven't deleted yet in Overcast. And I realize there's a bunch of shows that I would definitely put near the top, and it's because I listen to them so quickly and immediately it's like a must listen. And so one, and it's just short and it goes down so easy, and it was the inspiration for Risky or Not, and that is Robot or Not, right? Like, I'll never miss an episode of that. And then I'll say also Roderick on the Line, like every episode I will listen to it. And I am absolutely not sucking up with this, Kathy, but another must listen show is Roboism, because you and Alex are delightful. And I've only listened to like the two, I guess, that you've been on, but I'm going to listen.
So. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
So I just realized I didn't answer any of my actual favorite.
I know, it's okay. Don't worry. I have a note here to follow up with you. So I am a professional, I will make sure that you answer the dang question.
Well, for this question, I wrote down a couple because I felt like I should, because you're right. When you think of what have I been listening to, it's all over the shop. One podcast that is excellent is You're Wrong About. It's by Sarah Marshall and Michael Hobbs, and there's a style of podcast that does this sort of thing, recapping historical events, let's say, but they do an excellent job of researching previous events that usually the public has a misconception about, often a negative perception towards a person in history, often recent history or an event, and they will effectively go back and do some quite good research on articles at the time, what was said about these, and often why that was incorrect. And often these events are events that I was quite young for. You get things like Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, and you have a passing knowledge that I would have been quite young at the time. So you kind of know the facts and the rough idea of what the media said at the time. And this isn't here to be a big media beat up or anything, but nonetheless, they will dive back in as if it's the real time, effectively, and look at what actually happened in these events. So, and they're quite amusing people too. So that's a great show.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because that has also been on my list of podcasts to listen to. But if I claimed it now, I would be a poser because I haven't listened in a while. But it's an excellent podcast. So I really want to thank you for mentioning that one.
It's so good.
Yeah. So I think that's excellent. And it's good to know, that obviously it's risky with these sort of podcasts. If you dive in, sometimes you get people who might just be listing off facts or something, reading the Wikipedia page top to bottom or something without, double checking what's going on. But they're doing a great job there. I've moved away from technology podcasts in recent years. I found like there were podcasts quite aspirational, maybe. And when I wanted to be more involved in the tech scene, I'd listen to a lot of tech podcasts. And now I'm in the tech scene. And to be fair, these are lovely people. I know a lot of the people in the podcasting tech scene. So in a way, I feel like my brain has its quota of that a little bit. So, I still listen to Cortex with Mike Hurley and CGP Grey, which is a show about, vaguely running a small creative business, a sort of productivity style podcast.
Kind of,
which is the last podcast. Yeah, it's the last thing I would listen to by description, but it appeals to me, and it tickles an area of my brain that isn't purely, doesn't feel like work, even though it is effectively work adjacent. So that's another one. And if I could list one that is just a narrative style one, it's a series, sort of like Serial or any of these ones where you can listen to it as a one-off. It's not something you listen to for years, but The Missing Crypto Queen, again, I've got too many tech bros in my Twitter timeline talking crypto all the time, and I'm not interested in crypto that much. But this is, it's a narrative. It's about a person involved in crypto, but quite an interesting, vaguely crime-related podcast. So if you're looking just for a narrative crime podcast, I think it's about 13 episodes. It's finished now. But yeah, I quite like having one of those in my list at all times if I can help it, just to have a narrative one where you just start at one point and it finishes after a certain number of episodes.
Yeah, I love both of you have such a wide variety of different like styles of podcasts, you know, narrative or two people talking or history or like hanging out. And it just goes to show the wide variety of options there are and how what your favorite is may not be someone else's. And so a lot of times I know I've had conversations with people that are like, sorry, I got to go. I have to record a podcast. Oh, what's not really getting the what's a podcast anymore, but more of, oh, I don't listen to podcasts. Oh, and I'm like, okay, table that. We're going to have a conversation because it just means that you haven't found the podcast that's right for you. I feel like there really is a podcast out there for everyone to enjoy and listen to. And I love that the options out there are so varied and there are so many choices for someone to listen to. And it changes what you want to listen to, too. Like your mood and style and changes. And there's sometimes, I mean, I've talked about this before. I end up not listening to a whole lot of podcasts because a lot of times, you know, just life gets heavy and I don't want to have other voices in my head. But one of those shows that I listen to every week is Due by Friday and The After Show. And sometimes I listen to that in like a 12-hour time frame. And then other times I don't even finish The After Show by the time the next week's main show episode comes out. And it's such an ebb and flow in my mood and my day and what I'm doing and things. And sometimes it's been a battle to work on like my personal guilt, like, oh, I'm not listening to my friends talk, but I still download the podcast. Like, I may not listen to it, but hey.
I'm doing
like,
the numbers.
Oh. Yeah, let's get those numbers.
and you know, it's so funny. If you ask me this question in 6 months from now versus 6 months ago versus a year ago, like for a while, I was a dedicated listener to Omnibus. I listened to Back to Work forever from episode one. And lately I'd fallen off. Used to never miss an episode of the talk show and ATP. And now I feel a little sad, but it's like I only have so much time. And then I also have to say, again, thank you for mentioning Cortex. I recently checked that out for the first time because somebody who listens to one of our podcasts said that they were talking about this Ember mug that keeps your coffee or your tea warm. And I'm like, wow, I want to learn more about that. So I listened to an episode and it was good. It was interesting. And I learned about the mug right at the end of the episode. And like, that's cool. I probably am not going to come back and listen to it, but if I had room in my portfolio for another tech bro podcast, that would be a good one. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that variety there, especially, you're right, if I'm feeling work heavy, I won't listen to anything remotely, you know, I might just listen to something, a comedy podcast or the like. It's just good to have that balance. And, you know, maybe if I've got a lot of free time, then I'll listen back into other shows that are a longer form.
And I used to be a completionist, right? Like start this podcast, listen all the way through and be done. And lately again, and maybe it's the pandemic, I don't know. It's like, I'm not in the mood for that. So I'm going to leave that one halfway through. I'm going to go listen to this other one and then maybe come back to it and maybe not. And it's like, there's no rules. Like I'm allowed to do that, but I feel guilty. I feel like, I really should be keeping up with my podcast more, you know? Right. Like, no, you don't have to do that.
No, you have agency on what you listen to and what type you listen to. And yeah, it's so interesting. And if you are listening to this, I am giving you verbal confirmation that you have permission to not listen to a show that you feel like you need to listen to. Obviously, this doesn't count for like college courses or work, but if this is your, you know, home entertainment life, you have my permission to skip the episode that is making you like groan, that you don't want to listen to the show that is like, ugh, dragging you down. You have permission to delete it out of your queue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go fresh. Fresh in 2021.
Yes.
Fresh podcast queue.
I love it. All right. Now that we're done with the podcast related questions, it's time for the bonus round. Audience, if you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. And I also would love to hear your answers to my bonus questions. Tweet with the hashtag FIYE answer. That's fire answer.
How soundproof is your room, Kathy? Does any of your family come running in when you yell this, or any of the neighbors? Because it sounds an awful lot like fire to me.
Exactly.
That people yell when their house is burning down.
No, they're pretty used to it. They know
just
what
like
I'm
the neighbors calling. Someone's yelling fire. They just keep yelling fire about once a week, and I don't know.
Yeah. No. Thankfully, they're just like, what? Huh? It's great. It works out. All right. So this episode's question is, which talent would you most like to have?
Oh, I'll absolutely. I was thinking about this just the other day. I would love to be able to play guitar. And I tried as a kid. I was horrible at it. I was watching music videos, the great Baba O'Reilly live version by The Who. And I was thinking that again, man. And I've got friends who've learned to play the electric guitar late in life. And I'm like, that would be so cool. And I know it is something that I will always aspire to. And I am never going to do it. I don't have time. I don't have the talent. Right. But boy, if I could just like snap my fingers and make a wish and get the ability to play electric guitar, I would be so there.
Yeah. I like that one. That's a good one. You know what? The honest but boring answer is I'd like the ability to concentrate on something for a meaningful amount of time.
You know,
just that boring thing that you don't want to do that you put off for weeks. I want the ability to actually be able to do that and not continually put that off for more weeks. So I don't know what talent that is, but that would be incredible.
Very good talent to dream for. So I don't know.
I definitely don't have it, whatever that is. I seem to spend my life trying to, when that happens too often, I think, well, what do I need to change in my life to not have this boring thing come up all the time? Because I'm doing something wrong if it keeps coming around. And you can't always do that with everything. Some things you just got to do. But boy, would I like a bit more grit.
I love that. Both of you had perfect answers. And thank you both for joining me on this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Dawn at Bug Counter, and Jeremy is at Jeremy Burge, and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much. And I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.